I'm here with Michael Grubbs, aka Wakey Wakey. How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for taking time to talk to me.
We're here in Chicago on technically day two of the convention. You just arrived.
Yes, I did. It feels like I played a show last night in Philly, so I feel like I'm on tour right now. It's really fun. I'm like getting into the tour zone. So it's fun, even though it's just today and tomorrow. Then I've got a show in Montreal, I guess. So,
have you got to do any fun Chicago stuff so far this morning?
I did a thing. It's a very old school Chicago tradition called napping in your hotel room.
I hear that's popular.
Yeah, it's very, very. It's all the kids are talking about it. But no, I haven't actually. I'm such a big fan of Chicago. I love the art. There's so many great museums here. And I'm trying to figure out if there's any way. I don't think I can make it today, but I hope to.
Yeah, and, you know, get some deep dish pizza.
Yeah, maybe deep dish pizza is the way to go. Maybe that's what I need to do.
And what are you most excited about in terms of just the convention and everything that you have going on tonight and tomorrow?
Every aspect of this is so much fun for me. It's really hard to describe what it's like. I mean, for anyone that's never been to a convention, I don't know that there's anything on earth that I love as much as the people here love One Tree Hill. Like, it
it's
is
pretty intense.
It's awesome, but it's also magnified when people get together. So it's this really cool thing when everyone gets like this massive wave of energy. And I feel like probably Sunday that's going to crest at the live show that we're doing.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's probably going to be the apex of this experience for me. It's going to be playing live for everyone.
So that'll be you, Kate Vogel, Tyler Hilton, and Michael May just joined the lineup too. So
okay.
That's going to be so much fun.
Nice. I'm excited. Yeah. I think I don't know who's going to be there, but I know whoever's going to be there is going to be sweet. The One Tree Hill family, it's just, everyone is good people, and we're all really fun to hang out with. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to a good backstage party. I think I play earlier in the night as well, which means that I can kind of let loose, possibly, maybe.
I feel like of all the characters, of all the actors, you know, yours was the one that was most similar to you as
Definitely.
A person. So.
Yeah.
Do you feel like fans see a separation, or do they think it's all sort of one?
I don't know. I think it's interesting to me. The other thing is I've had such a long, I've been in New York for a long time, right? And I played in a band, and so a lot of people knew me from the band. And I bartended all over the city, so I met people every day when I was bartending. So after I did the show, people would come up to me in the streets all the time and be like, Grubbs! And I would have to try and instantly guess if I knew them from,
right.
If they were a fan of the band, if they were someone that knew me from, I bartended for them once and had no idea that I'd even been on a television show, or if they were someone that was a big fan of the show. So it was pretty interesting, but I do feel like, I don't know, I'm happy to blur that line. A lot of people do ask me what I want, what they would have to drink. And when I'm not in bartender mode, it's hard for me to answer that question. But I do my best. I always try and take a stab.
And you've been putting out pretty much nonstop music. I feel like at least every year, every couple of years,
mm-hmm.
so many different things. The most recent is the cover series that you're doing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm kind of a workaholic. And, I've worked to kind of build my circle bigger and bigger and bigger in New York, of just the level of artists I work with, the level of, you know, string players, the studios I have access to, everything kind of has gotten better and better. So I feel like I should take advantage of these things. I should use these things, you know. I don't get much joy from, you know, there. It is nice to occasionally have a day off, but I feel like maybe one or two days a month is kind of all I want to chill, and other than that, I'd like to be working. And I can go to the studio and take my dog, so it's like Buster and I go to the studio and we record covers, and it's great.
So is this going to be something that periodically you're going to be doing more and more cover songs and releasing them?
We're hoping that it's going to be, that this is the first of the set, like that it would be, you know, three or four episodes, but it really just depends on how much time we have and how much we can record, and, you know, it's it is, also on how many people go buy them off of Apple iTunes.
Yes, everyone go buy them.
Yeah, so the more people that pick them up, the more I can afford to make. So.
And is there any artist that you have the most fun covering, or maybe genre of music?
I really dug working on the Fanagram song. You know, it's funny, I'm kind of steeped in this counterculture in New York. The people that I hang out with are very, very alternative, I guess you might say. And so to the songs that are, that seem like that Fanagram song to me seems like it's the biggest pop song in the world. It seems like it's everywhere. But I think that might only be in my neighborhood. I'm not sure. but that's a song. I'm such a big fan of that band, and I have been for a long time, and it was a really... it was really fun to cover that song specifically. And I like working with Emily Hope Price, the cellist on it. She was in a fantastic band called Pearl and the Beard that are you know, good, really good friends of mine and good people. And yeah, so it was great to get to feature her on something as well.
And how do you, in your recording covers, figure out how to arrange it to sort of make it your own?
I think that, so it comes down to you figure out what is the most iconic aspect of the song, and then you try and hone in on that. So it's like if that Fanagram song, which everyone should go listen to, or maybe you'll play it next, it's got this really awesome bass line that happens throughout it. So I wanted to recreate that, but I know that I'm not really as good with like synth stuff as they are. I like the string aspect of it. When I listen to those songs and when I read those lyrics, they're sad to me. When they sing that song and hear those lyrics, it feels like a party to them, which is really cool to me that we have this different interaction with it. So for me, it was my way of honoring the song, was to take it and frame it in the way that I feel.
Staying at home when the moon is bleeding red. Woke up stoned in the back seat from a dream where the teeth fell out of my head. Cut it up, yeah. Everybody's on something here. My godsend chemical best friend skeleton whispering in my ear. Walk with me to the end. Stay out with me into the abyss. Do you feel like letting go? Down it is. Nothing is fun, not like before. You don't get me high anymore. I used to take one, now it takes four. You don't get me.
I think high. I try in the studio to think of what do different instruments make me feel like, you know, and played in certain ways.
And is that sort of the same concept you probably apply when you're recording your own original music?
Totally. Yeah, totally. And also occasionally it's like, sometimes, you know, like the album Salvation that I did, that's a really...
I love that album so much.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And, you know, it's funny because for me it was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to make a pop album. I want to experience what it's like to work in this environment and to do this. And it was so much fun. I loved doing it. And so I mean, it's basically just depends. Sometimes I just want to be experimental, and sometimes I want to dive into something. And I have the luxury of having working pretty much constantly, so I can just kind of do whatever I want.
For that album, for Salvation, what made you decide to do the stripped down version?
I think the fans really wanted it. It seems to me like the fans were really, you know, that album was in a large way about production. I mean, the songwriting was incredibly important to me, but the production was a huge element of it. And so fans that were used to hearing me play with strings or with, you know, more in a quiet way, or that had seen me, because I tour solo most of the time,
right?
You know, so people will see me play solo and it's like, I figure I should prepare them for what they're going to hear when they come see me at a solo show.
I almost feel like it's two different experiences. Like, I listen to the full one when I want to just jam and rock out, and then I listen to the stripped down one when I want to really like hone in on the lyrics. And
that's awesome.
It's really cool to have both versions.
That's, I'm so flattered by that. That makes me so happy. It's crazy. You know, I think sometimes you put when I start to live in the studio and I get a little ways away from the touring aspect of my career, I forget the way that people interact with the music. And when I get to come to a place like this where there's a bunch of One Tree Hill fans or a bunch of Wakey Wakey fans or people that just love music and love this stuff, that it really reminds me of what I'm doing. And it's such a, like, so it's so nice to have you say that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so then when you worked on Overreactivist, the more recent album, how did that come together? And specifically the name. I feel like it's such a strong name for the album.
I thought that I wanted to do the idea of Overreactivist came into my head. I actually was listening to a song There's a band called Clap Your Hands Say Yeah, and they came out with a new album recently. They were a pretty important band in 2006, 2008, kind of in my neighborhood at least. And I kind of lost touch with them, and I found this new album that I really loved that other people weren't listening to. But anyway, that's not important. So I listened to the first song, and he sings kind of weird and distant. You can't really always understand. And I thought that he said overreactivist, and I was like, what a cool phrase. But he didn't say overreactivist. And I was like, that's such a cool phrase. And then I was like, overreactivist, I've got to use that for something. And then basically tried to put it into songs, tried to put it into different things for a long time. It just kind of rattled around. The back of my head, like the back lobe of my brain, is this weird kind of repository of random things that I think would be cool to say. In a song, I mean, not in conversation.
And is there a song on that album or even on the others that you're the most proud of or that's like the most personal to you?
There are a couple. Each song on that album has a pretty strong story for me. However, I think that Heartbroke, the first song on the album, speaks a lot, and it's kind of a journey of a song. I really wanted to, when I first started making music, it was important to me to not be kind of in a box. I never wanted to be someone that every album sounds like alternative, every album sounds pop, every album sounds something.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of be genreless, which is an indulgent choice for a creator to make, but still, I thought, fuck it. So, I tried to make every album be whatever it was that I was in that moment. So it was important to me because almost everything was so specific and to our fans, are really the most important album.
And yeah.
I get that. I love that. Salvation was, for me, a pop album. But I needed, the third was a big statement because it was to say, I'm not just a pop artist now. It was the third that really made it into a cycle that made it hopefully evident to fans that I was going to kind of just do whatever. And so you should listen to it before you buy it. So it was important to me that with the first song of that album, I created a world for people to kind of step into. So I tried to make it, I really tried to create an atmosphere with that song. And it feels to me like it kind of worked, you know?
I think so, yeah. Do you get a lot of stories, fans coming up to you on tour or online, like telling you about things they connected with from certain songs?
Yes, definitely, and that's one of my favorite things. I know that some, like, I know some people don't enjoy, every artist has their own relationship with their fans, you know, and mine is ever evolving and ever changing. At first, I thought that I would be some cool reserve artist and never talk to people and never have that kind of interaction. But because of the way that the album came out and what I did, it became really natural to me to talk to fans. I'm a social person. I like to talk. I'm sure you can tell from
yeah.
I have a chatter. That's what I do. So, you know, I was a bartender for 10 years in New York before
yeah,
I did
you get
Montreal.
Used to it.
So it's like, I'm, you know, making a conversation and chatting to people is fun for me. So when I got the interaction to talk to fans again and again and again, and then I kind of hit a reset button. I don't know where it was. Maybe I was talking to a fan one day and they said something that particularly affected me, that it no longer, interacting with fans no longer became a situation where I felt like I was giving of myself. I felt like I was taking something from my fans. You know, it's a give and take. And at that point, it became a healthy interaction.
Yeah.
And something that I really enjoyed. So I like to talk to fans. I liked it when they say stuff like that to me.
And I think that's what's so great about social media and like conventions like this. It's so easy for people to come together and mm-hmm. stay connected and talk to people from all over the world. It's
totally
incredible.
Yeah, but I would rather talk to a fan face-to-face any day of the week.
Yeah, definitely. And I was also just wondering, is there any acting in your future or is it just going to be...
I don't know.
Music is... I mean, obviously, music is your main passion.
I'm actually writing a musical right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is kind of a fun thing that I've been wanting to do for a long time. There's a book. It's a little too ways off to get... It's too in its early stages to get too deep into, but maybe if that works out, I'll do a return to the stage for that kind
yeah.
of thing, which would be kind of fun. And also, you know, when it comes to the television stuff, it's great. If someone comes to me with the right role or the right thing, that's awesome. If it benefits the music especially. But.
Well, would it be okay if we did some rapid fire
Q&A, yeah.
like personality questions?
Hit me.
All right. Favorite color?
Green.
Go-to Netflix show?
Right now it's The Crown.
Go-to dance move?
Oh, I think it's the, it's kind of like a shuffly, sexy guy thing that I do. I usually, when I think of dancing, I try and be like a shadow and just kind of move around my wife in a way that people look at her.
Since we're in Chicago, I have to ask, Cubs or Sox?
Oh, I know absolutely nothing about sports, but I'll say Cubs.
Okay, that's probably a solid choice right now. New York or Chicago-style pizza?
Ooh. I think, see, okay, now we've done, like, this is not a rapid fire question. You want to talk to me about pizza,
we're going to have to start the interview all over.
Like, see, I don't see pizza as a, pizza is not a thing. Pizza is like an art form. Pizza is like music. Every different style has got its own hero, you know?
That's so true.
Like, if I had to pick, if I had to pick one pizza to live with forever, it would be like a great grandma style pizza, which is somewhere between a New York and a Chicago, actually.
So not super thin, not super deep dish.
Yeah, not to be like a politician about it. Like, that being said, I couldn't live without a New York slice, you know. So I think New York would win over Chicago, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Chicago fans. But you have many other things, which I love.
Well, last question, and I feel like I might know the answer. Team Lucas or Team Nathan? Not that there has to be teams.
You know, I got to go with my boy James.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun, and I can't wait to see you perform.
Awesome. It's so much fun to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I am the long shot. I am the sore spot. I am the tragedy you've been waiting to happen. I am the loose end, you never tied up, the roof caving in, you always knew it would happen. And though I know that my television lies, I've been an overreactivist my whole life. We're